I look well. You got nothing on my new haircut. You're not gonna say I look like a little page boy or something?
No, I just thought maybe you'd put a child's wig on backwards.
There we go. Thank you.
Can I start on the blazer now?
That's a clip from one of the funniest, if not the funniest, shows streaming these days, Hacks. The Emmy Award-winning show explores the dynamic relationship between the glamorous veteran comedian Deborah Vance, played by Jean Smart, and young comedy writer Ava Daniels, played by Hannah Einbinder. Hacks was co-created by Paul W. Downs and Lucia Aniello, along with their best friend and former girl showrunner, Jen Statsky. Paul and Lucia are married, and between the two of them, they have won 19 awards for their work on Hacks. I think they're going to need a bigger house. Paul also stars on the show as Deborah and Ava's mutual manager, Jimmy, while Lucia has directed the bulk of the series episodes. They join us now to talk about the third season of Hacks, their favorite characters to write for, and how they came up with the premise for the show in the first place.
Lucia and I were driving to Portland, Maine from Boston with our best friend and co-creator of Hacks, Jen Statsky. And on that road trip to shoot a segment for my Netflix special, we started talking about female comedians that we loved and how they didn't have the same respect their male counterparts had, and also about how people our generation sometimes didn't even understand the role they played in comedy history. And we thought that might be an interesting show, a show about a Vegas icon who is in sort of the later stage of her career and about a young writer who comes to respect her and become friends with her.
Yeah, and really it's also about the ways that these two women from very different generations are so different, yet they're so similar. And what that kind of relationship does to them, how it changes them for the better, for the worse, whatever. And it definitely pushes them to change.
Mm-hmm. And that not-so-secret sauce of Hacks is indeed getting Jean Smart's Deborah and Hannah Einbinder's Ava into a scene together. You wasted very little time connecting them in season three. Was there ever a thought of prolonging their separation?
We talked about it because we wanted their separation to feel like it was something we actually experienced and to see their lives separately, but also, you know, the DNA of the show is about the grist and creative love affair that they have. So we did decide it was best to get them back together sooner than later.
Is that the dress you're trying to fit into for tomorrow?
Mm-hmm. Isn't it gorgeous?
No, it's literally the most hideous dress I've ever seen in my entire life.
It's Bill Blass Couture. It's one of a kind.
Well, thank God there's only one of those.
Okay, you're insane. I mean, look at this.
I am. That's the problem.
Oh, my God. You know nothing about fashion. You dress like you're about to have lunch on a steel girder.
Hey, whatever. You can wear whatever you want.
This might be a tough question, but which character do each of you enjoy writing the most?
It depends. I mean, I think I am a little bit more Deborah than Ava, to be honest. So sometimes I feel like I enjoy that, but it depends on the scene.
Yeah, I think when it comes to the fabulousness of Deborah, that's so fun to write, to imagine what somebody with all that money and would do on a daily basis. But I think when it comes to a lot of, especially social issues, I do think we both, and Jen as well, we all tend to be more Avas. You know, we do believe in progressive values and espouse them and try to live them.
Oh, I forgot to show you. I had Damien make this. It is a full body printout of everybody who's doing the roast. This way we can concentrate on attacking their physical flaws.
Just want to say, roasts are vile. I mean, everything about them is problematic. The material punches down almost always at the expense of women and other marginalized groups. It's almost fascistic when you think about it, you know? So I have a question for you. What if we reinvent the roast, do like an uplifting version of it?
I have a question for you. What rhymes with flat?
I'll look it up on Rhyme Zone.
Great.
So I think you can see both. I mean, I'm wearing a leopard shirt right now, so obviously there's some Deborah in me.
Yeah, definitely. Every great drama is hilarious, and every great comedy has heart. Hacks clearly fits that mold. I'm curious, what is your approach to balancing episodic laughs with season-long dramatic arcs?
Well, thank you. I mean, we really do think about that a lot because it is a show that has sort of a mixed tone. But, you know, we approach every story with the idea of funny first. I mean, these are two comedy writers. So in a way, you know, we have this cheat code, which is we get to write one-liners and jokes that these characters would organically say. So hopefully they feel grounded and very much in the world of their lives. And it doesn't feel like, huh, that's the most witty writery joke you've ever heard from a person that works in paleontology. But instead, it's people that make comedy. So while we try and be funny first, we are also always talking about the tone. We never want it to feel too dramatic or melodramatic, and we never want it to feel too broad in terms of its comedy. And so we really want it to feel true to life, because to us, both the most funny things in life and also the saddest things are the truest things.
And that gets, you know, worked on from the initial conversations to the script, to the shooting, to the edit. Like, it's constantly, constantly chiseled. Like a statue.
Very well said. Lucia, you're doing double with directing a lot of these episodes, and there's a specific shot early in season 3 that I'd love to have you talk about. Sure. It's that shot of Jean Smart looking into a mirror. Can you walk us through this shot?
Sure. Yeah, that was one that actually was very considered, and actually there's a little bit of reshooting actually in the very end of that. But the idea was that, right in episode 302, Better Late, Deborah is about to guest host Late Night, the show that she almost was able to host back when she was in her early 20s. But a lot of family drama became very public, and that opportunity went away. And so now she's here, 40 something years later, she has a chance to guest host. And so right before she goes out to stage, she takes a look at herself in the mirror, and what she sees back is her younger self. And we really wanted to say, this is an opportunity for her, at least in this moment, to go and have that dream, even just for a night. And she's nervous, she's excited, and then she does the thing that Deborah Vance always does, which is she kills.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome your host, Deborah Vance!
That is what she is made for. She is made for a crowd. She is charming. She's witty. She's smart. And she has been since she was 25 years old. And so for us, I think, that episode was really important to say, like, she has an opportunity to have it for a night. And then at the end of that, she's a little somber. And I think it confronts the question, is it worth having your dream but for a night? Though at the very end of the episode, of course, she finds out that may actually not just be for a night, because there is an opportunity. Danny Collins is leaving Late Show. And so that becomes her new goal for the season, is to get the chair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That shot feels like it should be the cover of the Criterion edition of Hacks. It seems to summarize the whole conceit of teaching your younger self, learning, dealing with your older self and taking advantage of the wisdom of aging. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Paul, you're doing double duty as well, although in your case, it's as a writer and actor. You play Deborah and Ava's mutual manager, Jimmy. I have to ask, though, who writes Jimmy the best between the two of you?
Wow. Well, I have to say I pitch for Jimmy the least, because sometimes it feels strange too, but I do, in the writer's room, certainly embody the character. And so there is a naturalness to my ability to, let's say, channel. I'm going to say conjure and channel the character of Jimmy. And so in that way, I think
it takes a lot of work, but he gets there.
Yeah, it's very natural to me. And so I have a great time doing it. And I have a great scene partner often in Meg Stalter, who plays Kayla. And yeah, it's important to have representation for representation.
Absolutely. That says it all. Yeah, you mentioned Megan Stalter's portrayal of Kayla. How did that come about, the relationship between Jimmy and Kayla?
Well, we wrote that before Meg was attached, but we had always been a fan of her as a comedian. We all kind of came up in sort of the alt comedy scene in New York, and she and I had done live shows together and were, friends and I think mutual admirers. And then when we wrote the part sort of with her in mind, and she did have to audition for it and was absolutely it. So I think it really flourished once we got on set, and it just sort of worked. We just have sort of a classic odd couple dynamic.
Why would you rent a $300,000 car in a new city with French road signs?
Because JFL is the comedy industry event of the year, Jimmy. Deborah's doing amazing. I want people to know we're doing amazing too. It's all about peacocking, baby.
No, it's not. Reps come to this festival to
cheat on their wives.
Sure, but we are here to see fresh, interesting new voices, okay?
Stop stressing. Me trust fund is Sue trust fund. Just charge it.
She does something that makes Jimmy absolutely exasperated, and yet they do have an underlying care for each other. And they really, you know, they're linked in a similar way that Deborah and Ava are linked, that there is like this tension that is for us very comedic. But this season, you do see them also really connect. And I think you get a chance to see them show some more vulnerable and heartfelt side of the characters than we've seen before.
Mm-hmm. Very well said. And you said in a recent interview, Paul, you mentioned how the different characters that are in Deborah's orbit, are treated differently and go through a different kind of experience than depending on, you know, how their relationship with her. Can you talk about how Jimmy figures into Deborah's orbit?
Well, Jimmy's an interesting figure in Deborah's orbit because he inherited her as a client because she was represented by his father for many, many years. And his father stuck by Deborah in some of the bleakest points in her career. And so I think there's a real history there, but it's also, she's managed now by a much younger guy. So, you know, they have a really kind of unique relationship.
Winnie's schedule is packed and every comedy rep is trying to sit down with her. So it's been a little tricky.
Tricky for you. You need to get a meeting with Winnie ASAP.
I promise you we will, okay? And when we do, I already have a great angle, okay? Practice this. They probably want someone diverse, right? Well, guess what? Old is diverse, huh?
Yeah, we'll shatter the glass hip.
I think he never feels completely secure in his working relationship with Deborah, and I think she knows that and uses that to her advantage at times. But at the end of the day, she does always stick with him because she knows he works really hard, which is definitely something you experience this season. And he's a good guy. And that doesn't happen every day in Hollywood.
Yeah, Deborah's kind of like a mob boss. She really respects loyalty and mm-hmm. he is very loyal and will bust his butt for her.
Mm-hmm, certainly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Lucia, are there certain directors that you're influenced by that inspire the way you approach directing hacks?
Yeah, I mean, my biggest inspiration certainly has always been Steven Soderbergh. I think his ability to change his visual language based on the story is something that I like is my ultimate, you know, inspiration. I think, you know, Behind the Candelabra was a big inspiration for this. Ocean's 11 with all the Vegasness of it and the fantastic beauty of Vegas was a big inspiration. In general, we look at, you know, us along with our cinematographer, Adam Bricker. We watch Carol. You know, Carol had some color palettes in particular that we use as inspiration and reference as we shoot. I love Sofia Coppola's work. Yeah, there's a lot of people that we drew inspiration from, but we also wanted it to feel extremely contemporary, yet also have a bit of a throwback feel of a little bit of a 70s, you know, inspiration, which I think we do oftentimes in the music, but we also do in ways like the glass we use for our lenses is modeled after lenses that were made in the 70s that were then used made more contemporary and adapted to our digital cameras. So there's a lot of inspiration, you know, in general, whether it's cinematography or music or lighting or costumes that we pull from a lot of different places.
Yeah. So no stone goes unturned. You mentioned Carol. That's the film based on the Patricia Highsmith novel, isn't it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with Cate Blanchett, right?
Exactly. Rooney Mara.
Yeah, I realize. Yeah, there is a commonality there. Mm-hmm. A couple of our favorite beta guests, including Guy Branum and Steph Tolev, show up this season along with Helen Hunt. Are you at the stage now where you're getting the calls from folks who want in on Hacks?
I mean, we're really lucky because we, especially when we're out and about, you know, we get to meet people that enjoy the show and like the show. And when they tell us that, we can't help but think of them for the show. And sometimes, you know, I mean, Guy is a writer on the show, so it was really great. And he's actually in season one. You see him for a brief moment in season one as one of the little Debbies, that Deborah Vance super fan. So we were so happy to get him back in front of the camera because he's such a great and funny writer. And then, you know, Steph Tolev is another example of like a stand-up that we really love and think is so funny. We get to feature a lot of stand-ups both in the writer's room but also on screen, which is great.
And I actually think it's Steph's first TV credit.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I believe so.
Good for Steph. Yeah. That's cool. And she was great in the
so
episode,
funny.
Which we really enjoyed shooting with her. But yeah, we were really lucky that sometimes we shoot for the moon and we think, oh, wouldn't it be great if Helen Hunt would play this and send her the script and she'll say yes, you know, and it, I mean, that happened last season with Laurie Metcalf. We had been talking about her and such huge fans of her forever, but, you know, unbeknownst to us, she had enjoyed the show. And then Linda Lowy, who was in casting at HBO, shared the script with her and she said yes. So we have been very, very fortunate that people we admire are interested in playing with us.
Mm-hmm. But it's not just a case of being very fortunate. I mean, that's part of it. But let's face it, you're impressive people and people worth working for.
Well, so, I think what it comes down to is, honestly, we love making actors look good. We love being like, you are so fun. We think you're so funny. Just go and do your thing. And we write towards it. But then we let them, you know, play and improvise on set. And so for us, we really, you know, we like to think of it as a playground for actors to just kind of go wild and show why they're so good. And I think that's more than anything is maybe the thing that's most appealing.
I think it's actually a part of our writing, too. I mean, obviously, I'm an actor, but Lucia and I both come from performing and we met doing improv and sketch comedy. And so I think we like to write scenes that actors will want to play. And we like to write for the voices of performers. We love actors. And so we getting to feature people in ways maybe they haven't been in the past is really exciting for us. It's one of the most gratifying parts.
Mm, that's great to hear. Who has been your favorite cameo comedian or cameo in general?
I mean, it's really hard to say.
Yeah, you really can. It is so hard. I mean,
I will say some that are really exciting this season that we haven't talked about yet is J. Smith Cameron.
Yes.
Most notably from Succession as of late. Christina Hendricks from Mad Men is on the show this season. So fantastic. So funny in the show this season.
Something so different than you've seen her do before. And also, we got to have Christopher Lloyd in the show.
Yeah.
And we did also write the part for Christopher Lloyd, and he said yes, which was like,
dream
for us, is such a huge dream come true. I mean, whether it's Back to the Future or The Addams Family or One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, I'm like, he is iconic, and he was bringing that energy to set.
Yeah, so we're really, this season is chock full of goodness.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Lucia Aniello and Paul W. Downs, thank you both so much for taking the time to join us today. Congratulations on Hacks.
Thank you for making the time.
Paul W. Downs and Lucia Aniello are the co-creators of the award-winning Max comedy series Hacks. Find out more about Paul, Lucia, and Hacks at WPR.org/beta.
I had never seen this marriage of anger and intelligence quite like I did in that video.
Coming up, Jamal Mayfield joins us to talk about his stunning debut novel, Smoke Kings, and the viral video that inspired it. I'm Doug Gordon. You're listening to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio.